Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Michael Cohen says that he lied in order to protect you.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I never directed him to do anything wrong. Whatever he did on his own. He's a lawyer. A lawyer who represents a client is supposed to do the right thing. That's why you pay them a lot of money, et cetera, et cetera. He did some bad things unrelated to me. Income tax evasion. I heard about taxi cab. I heard about a lot of things. Now, I'm not reading about any of that stuff because what he did is he made a deal to embarrass me.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
That's where the Republicans in Congress ought to be driving this, toward a comprehensive plea deal for Donald Trump and his family members. Get him out of the White House. Have him resign. Plead guilty to lower charges. And let's move on as a country, because it's quite clear his goose is cooked.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
What would you want America to know about him behind the scenes that maybe the media would never portray about him?
That he's fighting for the America and American people every day, every day. He wants to govern the right way, and sometimes it's tough because you could see that media wants to bash and focus on negativity.
You see him as kind of pathetic and defanged and confused and goofy. It's the first time in his life he's not dealing from strength, and he's vulnerable and he's weak, and there's a pathetic quality to him, and there's almost, it feels like a confused quality to him. To me, he was always a cancer, and he's going from a malignant cancer to a benign cancer.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Can Bernie Sanders win in Missouri? Can Kamala Harris win in Missouri? Can Elizabeth Warren win in Missouri?
I'm not sure about that. I do think that what, as a party, we need to do is make sure that we are nominating someone who is inspirational.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And first things first here, our Christmas party at the White House is still on, okay? I know there's been a lot of confusion. The story broke this morning on Fox and Friends. It was announced with the fanfare as if there'd been a nuclear attack on Manhattan. You know, that the White House Christmas party had been, for the press, had been canceled. And I was doing an interview with our New Bedford affiliate, WBSM, and all of a sudden my phone line starts exploding and I'm getting text messages and emails, and Grace is getting texts and emails. Steve is getting... Oh, Grace is going to be disappointed. Grace is going to be devastated. The party has been canceled. Well, apparently, there are a bunch of different Christmas parties. For instance, I got a call a couple of hours ago from another guy I know here in Massachusetts, and he said, "Are you going to the party tomorrow night?" And I said, "No, our party is next week." He said, "My party is tomorrow night." I said, "So your party didn't get canceled either?" But there's all kinds of parties. I mean, if you're a big shot, you know, whether you're the president of the United States or the president of CBS, well, maybe that's a bad example, because the president of CBS is not doing much except meeting with his lawyers these days, or the former president. But if you're a big shot, you have a bunch of different Christmas parties, right? You have a Christmas party for the top staff. You have a Christmas party for the people you do business with in government. You have for the vendors, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's the same thing here. So our party is still on, and thank goodness it's still on, because, you know, I went out and I bought a suit today.
Here's the thing though, Howie, in this business that we're in, especially with this new Trump era, so much can change in such a short amount of time.
Yes.
So just for everyone out there, it was so sweet, all of the messages I got today of people concerned. But I am young, and in some things I am naive, but in this, I have my expectations measured, because I do know he is the president. Things change. I'm hoping I get to go and see him, but you don't know in this world. Things, you know, he might have something more important that day. Who knows? Just for right now, we're happy.
How come no one thought that I would be devastated and disappointed?
Because
and
you've
upset?
Met him before. You've gone to the White House.
No one said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Howie," but that's okay. Everything is fine, and we're very happy about this.
You know, I have a feeling that if your party actually was canceled, Grace would still be going to Washington, D.C., hanging outside the White House, trying to slip in.
I think we're going to be fine, and you should. I bought a lovely blue suit. Thank goodness they had a sale going on today at Joseph A. Bank. I had another suit up here in my closet, and I didn't think I was going to be needing it anytime soon, so I shipped it down to Florida. And then we got the invite to go to the party, and I suddenly realized it was too late to ship it back.
So you have two suits now?
I do. I have two suits. I think I have more. I think I have two suits in Florida, and I have a tuxedo in Florida. And I actually have two tuxedos. Don't ask me why. I wear a tuxedo.
You should be wearing
once a
tux.
A year.
You should be wearing a tux to the White House.
If I was wearing a tux to the White House, somebody would ask me to get him a drink. That's what would happen. They would say, "Where's your tray, waiter?" And I would say, "I didn't come here to be made sport of." All right. Yes, Grace.
I don't know if I should make this joke because you are taking me to the White House, but how long are your pants for this? Is there going to be a flood at the White House?
No, we need to get this pre-approved. You're going to have to bring in your suit tomorrow.
No, I just bought the suit today. It's not going to be ready. The alterations are going to be made Monday. I'll bring it in on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah. We're gonna have to sign off on whatever you're wearing.
No, everything is going to be fine. The tailor was there, and I told him, I said, I want it long enough. I want the cut. No cuffs, obviously. The cuffs are, no one gets cuffs anymore, but I want the hems to be proper. 844-500-4242. Beaver State Finian wants to know, is Gunnar going to the White House festivities? No, Gunnar's not going because today we had a Christmas party at the building that we operate out of. And they knowing the kind of people that they have on, at least in our suite, they included, in addition to the usual plates, they included
doggy bags, doggy boxes.
Yeah, boxes which you could pack stuff in. So I packed a box full of chicken cordon bleu and tenderloin for Gunnar. Gunnar is all set for the foreseeable future.
Again, your dogs eat better than most of the continent of Africa.
And you know what? Gunnar is going to continue to eat better than the continent of Africa as long as I have anything to say about it. Will your elbow set off metal detectors at the White House? My elbow is not made out of metal. It's made out of plastic.
No, but you've got the screws in it.
With any luck, yeah, the screws may set
off. We've
seen
the x-ray.
Yeah. Well, again, I got an artificial hip on my right side, so now I'm going to have an artificial elbow on my left side. So I'm matched. Whatever problems there were, I get around them. Every time I go to the White House or Mar-a-Lago, every time I go through airport security, I'll continue to do so. All right. 844-500-4242, 919. Thanks for the explanation, Howie. So the president only canceled the fake news Christmas party. That's a good way to put it, 919. The president canceled Jim Acosta and April Ryan's press party. He didn't cancel my party and Grace's party and my friend's party tomorrow night.
Well, now that it's been canceled, April Ryan has come out and said, I wasn't going to go anyways.
Really? I wouldn't have predicted she'd say that. I would have predicted she'd say, this is racism. Probably that's the next one. When nobody cares that she wasn't going to go, she'll say, I am deeply offended that this is a terrible thing. And, I'm only being singled out because of my race. So, you know, this is the way I don't blame him for canceling the party for those people. I mean, not all of them are bad, but I mean, you're kind of rewarding them. And then they would expect the president to show up, and they would hector him again. There's absolutely no, you heard the intro. I mean, they had very little on Michael Cohen that had anything to do with the president of the United States. They got Michael Cohen on a bunch of crimes that he committed that were outside the purview. How many lawyers do they think have one client and only do stuff for one? Other than since Tom Hagen in The Godfather is the only lawyer I've ever seen that had one client. And that was his father, right? I mean, say what you will about Donald Trump. He's not Michael Cohen's father, okay? And we know that Michael Cohen had other clients like Sean Hannity, for instance. So I think they're really going totally overboard here with this, trying to portray that this is the this is August 1974. You know, it's Richard Nixon. It's only a matter of hours until a congressional delegation of Republicans arrives at the White House to tell Donald Trump to resign. Resign for what? What exactly has he done? He gave some money to some, been calling them hookers. I'll be kind. Porn stars.
No, he was extorted. Donald Trump is actually the victim here of sex shaming blackmailers.
Right, right. And this was before. Forget being in the White House. This predated his run for the White House by what, 7-8 years? Are you kidding me? You know, this is absurd that they're trying to make this out to be some kind of crime. And I think he's onto something when he says that Cohen didn't even have to plead guilty to these crimes involving the payoffs. Again, he was giving money to as hush money at the behest of his clients. And any lawyer who commits a crime because his clients tell him to commit a crime isn't much of a lawyer and deserves to be disbarred and deserves to go to prison for 36 months. 8-4. So we'll take a couple of calls on this. So we got a lot of stuff to get to today, as always. And again, our books are for sale. Kennedy Babylon Volume 2. I don't have the book in front of me here, but here's the cover. Kennedy Babylon Volume 2. It's a Century of Scandal and Depravity Volume 2. And you can order it today, HowieCarshow.com. And it'll be there by Christmas. It's a great Christmas gift. And also, if you want to order now, we don't have many sweatshirts left. But if you got some smaller people in your family, mediums and smalls, they you might like to go with some sweatshirts. If you order our 2 sweatshirt package, which is like $19.99 or something like that, you get a free copy of Kennedy Babylon, which costs the same. So you get a free copy of Kennedy Babylon if you order the sweatshirt package of 2 sweatshirts. And again, most of the larger sizes are gone, but small and medium and a handful of larges remain. So check that out if you need some giveaways. 844-57-4242. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr.
This is Robin from Jonesboro, Maine.
This is Rod in Grand Cayman Islands.
This is Laura in Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show if you'd like to join us. By the way, the books are now starting to get into the stores. You can buy autographed copies of Kennedy Babylon at Wellesley Books in Wellesley, at the New England Mobile Book Fair in Newton, at the Leahy Clinic Gift Shop in Burlington, and at Bookends Books in downtown Winchester. And those are autographed books. If you want them personalized, you have to go through the store, HowieCarshow.com, click store. And Saturday, we're going to have 2 book signings at noon to 1:30. We'll be at Tuck's Trucks on Washington Street in Hudson, New Hampshire. We've done signings there before, and that's a good place to go. So we'll be there on Saturday, noon to 1:30, and from 3 to 4:30, we will be at the Used Book Superstore, which is in Burlington, Mass, on Cambridge Street. We've done book signings there as well. So it's all on our website. You can read up on that. And again, so we're in stores now, and we'll be in more stores. We'll be letting you know. And we just, Officer Mark just delivered over 400 books to Barnes & Noble in Framingham. they're not in the, I don't know if they're in the stores yet. Maybe in Framingham, but not elsewhere. And I don't know if those are, I don't think those are signed, but you can buy them now at Barnes & Noble, or you soon will be able to buy them. 844-500-4242. Chris, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, instead of a blue suit, you should have gotten an orange jumpsuit. You would have fit in well up there with all the Trump people going to prison.
Really? Hey, well, are they going to, Chris, are they going to prison for anything having to do with Russia?
Yes.
Tell me what. What do they do? What does it have to do with Russia?
Manafort, conspiracy against the United States. We've been through this.
Did it have anything? Did it have anything to do with the Trump campaign? Or did it have to do with stuff that he was doing with Podesta, who was the chairman of the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Okay.
The answer is it had to do with Podesta and the Democrats, didn't it?
No.
Yes, that is the answer.
But
so what did he have to, what did he do? Where does Trump's name appear in the Manafort indictment? Where?
It doesn't appear anywhere.
Oh, it doesn't. Oh, okay. Well, case closed then, I guess, Chris. Call me back when you get something to talk about. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Two quick things, Howie. First, this is like complaining about Hitler canceling his birthday party if you take the press seriously. It's just insane. At least we have the benefit of a president that doesn't sort of put on a show. There's no reason for this party. And the second thing is, Trump's border wall thing, he's handed the Democrats a tremendous amount of leverage to get whatever they want by making it so important. You'd think if they really wanted to accomplish something, they'd go behind closed doors and say, you get your $5 billion and here's what we want. I mean, he was ready to cave on 2 million DACA recipients.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, but if they don't want to cave, the DACA recipients, these are their own voters. 74% of these people are on welfare, i.e. they're Democrats, right? So if they're not, if they want to make this an issue that they can use going forward, so they're not going to give him anything anyway. By the way, I said Hudson, New Hampshire. I mean Tux Trucks in Hudson, Massachusetts. Excuse me. I have a mental block on that, but it's Hudson, Massachusetts, Tux Trucks. Sorry, David. Go ahead.
No, and it just demonstrates that they don't want anything. They just want a political issue. If they wanted to do things for their constituents, they would say, here's $5 billion, which is 0.00001% of the budget. And in return, they could probably get a bunch of things. But they're too stupid. They're either transparently political, which the public is not too stupid to realize, or they just don't care.
Well, I think it's a combination of both. They'd rather have the issue than the 2 million people getting taken care of. So...
So then
in that case, you can't really do business with them
if they don't want a deal.
Yeah. So if someone doesn't want to make a deal with you, there's no point in negotiating, right?
That's exactly right. He's given them the leverage to get whatever they want, and they can't get out of their own political way.
Yeah, I know. I think that's why Schumer was looking down and he looked so distraught, because he realized he was between a rock and a hard place there in the Oval Office. That's why he kept staring at the rug. Thanks for the call, David. 844-500-4242. Again, I'll be at the Tux Trucks in Hudson, Massachusetts from noon to 1:30 on Saturday. And then from 3 to 4:30, I'll be at the Used Book Superstore in Burlington, Massachusetts. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Wicked Good Cupcakes. Ordering is easy. Simply go to their website, wickedgoodcupcakes.com. Choose the desserts you want, the day you want it to arrive, and they'll take care of the rest. Best of all, most orders qualify for free shipping. Trust me, I've tried these myself, and they are not just good, they're wicked good. Perfect for the Christmas season, too. So go to their website, wickedgoodcupcakes.com, and order today. Steve, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Is it okay to re-gift during Christmas?
We bring this up because Donald Trump Jr. said in an interview yesterday that his father, the President of the United States, has been known to re-gift, including re-gifting monogrammed
That's what it is. He re-gifts specifically to Donald Trump Jr. because they share the same monogram. Okay. Unclear whether Ivanka has ever got, or Melania have ever gotten a re-gift.
You know, Hillary Clinton has never re-gifted me, even though we share the same initials. Hazardous Cargo has never sent me anything either. Although, you know, I see HC's name on many signs with a big X through it, a big line through it. Of course it's okay to re-gift.
Grace?
I feel as if you're going to re-gift something to me, that's okay, but I'm not going to get you anything. I'm not going to feel pressure to get you something in return.
I feel no pressure to get anyone anything, period.
I think you're not supposed to re-gift back to the person who was the original gift giver.
Well, obviously not.
Well, that's what Trump does. Don Jr. buys his father something that is monogrammed DJT, and then Trump gives it back to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, see, you know, here's the thing. If Donald Trump Jr. were paying attention, he would do that once, and then he would get the gift back, and then he would never do it again.
Right.
I mean, don't you think Donald Trump dad is trying to send him a message?
You know what my tip for Christmas is when you go to these big family parties? Get a couple of gifts that are kind of anybody gifts, like a gift card to Starbucks, like, or Dunkin' Donuts, things that in a
gifts
pinch,
in reserve, generic gifts.
Right.
Yeah.
So if someone happens to give you a gift and you realize, okay, they
oh,
get,
crap,
they,
I didn't
right,
come with something.
You
yeah.
can give them one of these. And if they don't give you a gift, you save it for the next person. So it's not re-gifting, but it's just buying gifts that can really be very transactional.
That's very crass and mercenary of you to say that, Greg.
Well,
that
Howie,
sounds like something
for you for
I would
quite
say.
Some time now. And this is what happens.
I want to know,
rubbing off on people.
I want to know, Howie, what are the rules for giving gifts to extended family, like cousins and nieces and nephews? Like, if you're going to a family event, do you need to bring a gift for everybody?
No, absolutely not.
But where do you draw the line?
I think you draw the line if they're not children. Children get gifts. I'm like Whitey Bulger in the sense that Christmas is for cops and kids. Because if you're
not
buying,
much of a Christmas for the state police, is it?
But if you're buying gifts,
it is for the ones who got away with it.
If you're buying gifts for like your 25-year-old nephews or nieces or cousins, you're not going to get them anything that they really want. Just save your money. That's how I truly feel. I get my parents gifts because everybody knows I love my parents and they're very good to me and I get them gifts. But I mean, other adults, do something small. Maybe get someone something small that they enjoy, a candy bar they like. But don't go crazy spending your money.
Have you got your Christmas shopping done yet, Howie?
Yeah, it's done.
You haven't bought anything, have
no,
you?
No.
You're not buying a Christmas present for the mailroom manager?
I'll get her something at the Breakers gift shop. I'll take her.
Are you serious?
No, you'll get her a nice
you can't
piece
get her
of jewelry.
Yeah, you can't get her some jewelry?
Howie, this is the thing. This is part of Howie's image is that he's this Christmas crank, but I know for a fact he gives very nice gifts to the mailroom manager.
I gave Christina a gift. I wrote her last tuition check to Boston College.
That's a very nice gift.
And that's not a gift. That's a requirement.
And that
of being
was
a dad.
And that was a real. And that's a gift I'll always remember because it's the last one.
Yeah.
The very last one.
It's a big gift.
A big gift. Yes.
All right. So, did we answer the poll question?
75% say yes. It's okay to re-gift during Christmas.
And you know, that's one thing that people do with a lot of with my books sometimes. They say, sign it to my nephew or my son or whatever, and then I'll read it before I give it to him. And
yes.
That's a beautiful way to that's a variation on regifting.
Yes.
But it's perfect. You know, you can read Kennedy Babylon 2 before you give the gift.
My sister actually, she called me. She's one of these people, Howie. I think one of your girls might be like this too, where she knows exactly what she wants. And so she just tells me and my parents and my siblings exactly what she wants. She's got a list. It goes out.
I like that.
And you know what she said to me? She said, well, Grace, you're the richest of my siblings. So I'm going to give you. And I said, the richest of your siblings.
That's rich.
That's not something that's hard to beat. My two brothers, no offense to them. None of us are exactly swimming in it. I'm like, what on earth are you going to ask me to buy you? Because that's a scary way to start.
Well, what did she ask?
At first, she said a karaoke machine, and I was like, I also need to buy a time machine because I don't even know where
machine?
I would find that. And then she said, hold on.
She can't go to a bar with a, wouldn't she be better off asking you for a fake ID?
Well, I shouldn't say this on air. Oh, but
so she's already asked for fake ID.
You've already given her one of your IDs, haven't you?
No, you know what? Here's a story with this. I tried to, and I thought I was being a good sister. And then you know what she said to me? She said, Grace, the only thing is that you're—
I don't like the name Grace.
No, worse. I could handle that. This is a vanity thing. She said, it's just that when I go with my friends, everyone's saying they're 21 and you're 26. So, and I said, you're saying I'm too old? And she was like, yeah, a little bit. It's not going to work. I'm just going to wait. But she's 21 now, so she doesn't have any problems.
Beaver State Finian says, I don't know what my gift is going to be to the mailroom manager because I haven't been to the White House yet to see what I can pilfer.
The Hillary Clinton guide to gifts. Okay, so let's get to some news, guys. And actually, Howie, you gave me a lovely segue here. Clinton and Kerry were filmed dancing to Bollywood hits at lavish India wedding. Did you see this? This wedding was—
weren't they paid to attend this wedding?
Well, so the wedding, the woman who was getting married, I guess her father is valued to be as rich as $43 billion. Okay, so she's the daughter of the richest person in India. And I think she had Beyonce perform at the wedding, which, I mean, Howie, like in your day, that would have been like Judy Garland singing at your wedding. You know what I mean? Like that would
more
be
like
huge.
Lillian Gish.
Frank so, Sinatra.
He would be a contemporary of Judy Garland.
Okay. Well, who was like the first singer? Whoever that is.
Rudy
like
Valley.
Glenn Miller.
Rudy Valley from Maine.
Glenn Miller. It would be like having Frank Zappa at your wedding if like people would really pay big money to see
Hungry
him.
Hungry Freaks Daddy.
Oh, God. But yeah, so Hillary Clinton was there and she was filmed dancing, which is, you know what? I'm going to give her a little bit of credit for someone who has a lot of trouble getting up and down like small little flights of stairs. Sista can move pretty good on a dance floor.
Did she start coughing?
No, I mean, there wasn't much audio. So unless she was coughing like without covering her mouth, then—
which is a possibility.
Did they have a horse at the wedding?
I don't think so. Why?
Because some of the really rich Indians now have weddings at the Breakers. And sometimes they bring in a horse for some reason. I don't know.
Oh, like into the ceremony?
Yeah, into the ceremony. They have a horse right on the grounds of the hotel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
cool. I saw one at Thanksgiving. Wow. Big white horse.
Wow. You could put a fake unicorn thing on it and it would be really majestic. Anyway, Fox News wins 2018 ratings race, even though MSNBC had its best year ever. So
where was Newsmax?
I do not know.
Where was CNN?
Oh, CNN finished the year in third place, averaging 990,000 viewers.
Yeah,
in
third place in that category. I'm just saying, how did it fare against everybody?
Well, it dropped 6% from last year. 6%, I think, Howie, in TV, that's like a pretty big drop, right?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty big drop when you have this kind of news cycle going on, which is just, you know, the entire world has become reality TV. They should be up.
And you know what's funny? I was looking on MSNBC yesterday, actually, to get the cut of Mika calling Mike Pompeo a wannabe dictator. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to, you know, have to take a day off tomorrow to go to a family event.
Oh, no, this was pre-scheduled. This was scheduled a long time ago.
Right, as these things usually are. But I was looking for that clip, and I was on the Morning Joe MSNBC website, and it's every single little video clip that you can click on is about Trump. They don't even take, even for themselves, they don't even, like sometimes on this show, Howie, obviously we're not, you know, we have more of an entertainment edge, but we break it up occasionally. Every single thing they talk about is about Trump, and it wouldn't be so bad if they didn't obviously hate him so much. Every single clip is Donnie Deutsch bashing Trump, then Joe Scarborough bashing Trump, then Mike Bloomberg bashing Trump.
But they have the highest ratings they've ever had, so it's working.
Yeah, but not enough to beat Fox.
I get some breaking news, Grace. The Strasbourg gunman has been shot dead by French police. Happy story.
Good.
Oh, good. There we go. That's some.
It's hard with my sling.
Yeah, you're clapping like Nicole Kidman.
But
that is a weird clap you got going on there.
That's some good Christmas news. I mean, holiday news, as Nancy Pelosi would say. After 2 years in office, Trump's approval rating matches Obama's at the same point of presidency. So this is also some good news. And he said it today. He was doing an interview on Fox. And he said, I don't even know how that's possible that I have such a high approval rating right now because everything that they put out about me is negative.
Right.
And that just shows
Whereas with Obama, everything they put out was positive.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's a, they're mirror images of the, of each other.
Did you say that Michelle Obama's book sales have surpassed 3 million?
Again, you know, that's great. That's great for sales and all that stuff. But I would, I want to know how many people have actually even cracked open the book, let alone read 20 pages.
That's like half as many as Kennedy Babylon 2s as you're going to sell.
Yeah. Do you know how many Kennedy Babylon 2s we're going through here? It's just amazing. I go out every break and I sign 10, 20 more copies. We're selling them so fast.
But all of the headlines say Michelle Obama will continue tour because her book's selling so well. And I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, obviously she's making money. That's what they've always done. They criticize Trump a lot for his money.
Plus, how many books does she have to sell to make back the advance? You know, that you get like $4 or $5 per book. So if her advance is, I don't know, what was it, 30 million, 40 million bucks? If it's 40 million bucks, she's going to need to sell 10 million books to break even, for the publisher to break even.
I will write a book for 1 million. That's how generous I'm going to be. But speaking of bad sales, though, someone left a message saying that, making a joke about the Clintons being on Groupon, and I thought it was a joke. And I went on Groupon to buy something, and there they are,
it's
Hillary
like
and Bill.
$35 for a seat to see Hillary and Bill.
So embarrassing. And it's such a weird thing to have it on Groupon.
$35 for one seat, two seats for $30.
We'll give you an extra seat to put your stuff.
Yeah, there's a bring a friend discount.
Well, we get back a very strange story out of a Southwest flight and also a really good tweet from Trey Gowdy.
I'm really glad that I don't have to fly Southwest. I'm happy to be a JetBlue customer and an American customer, but mainly a JetBlue customer. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
This is Arthur in Harrington, Downey's, Maine, Washington County.
This is Joan O'Hanley in Medford, Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Scott from Litchfield, New Hampshire, and you're listening to The Captain on The Howie Carr Show.
Is this the white horse? The white horse. 844, like the one I saw at the Breakers at the Indian wedding. 844-500-4242. 603 says, Bill Clinton only agreed to put his tickets on Groupon because he thought it was pronounced Grope-on. That could be. There could be something to that. All right, what do you got for us, Grace, about the Southwest Airlines?
Well, first, let me just tell everyone this new segment is brought to you by a very special deal we're running on HowieCarshow.com. Click store. If you buy our two sweatshirts, you get a Kennedy Babylon 2 thrown in. It's HowieCarshow.com. Click store. So that's really three gifts.
Right.
Right there. Knock them out. And it's a cheap deal. It's a good deal. And you'll get KB2, which is the real...
The real McCoy.
The real McCoy. Okay, now I want to get to this Southwest story. It sounds like a police blotter, but it didn't involve the police, so I think I can get away with it. Southwest flight turns around after human heart is found on plane.
Yeah, somebody made a mistake.
A human heart?
Yeah. Well, no, it was like for an organ delivery.
Oh.
Those things tend to be time sensitive, you know?
Howie, you would have been so good if you weren't a radio host and all your other jobs. You would be an awesome courier for transplants. You know why? Because you are always carrying around Tupperware. You're always, you know, pilfering things and sticking them into your Tupperware and slamming it really tight and making
pilfering?
Sure it's secure.
Would you
want a heart transplant that had just rode to your hospital alongside some of Howie's fried clams?
And a Ziploc bag. But he's always prepared. And I think you would keep an eye on it because I know that if I ever took your food out of there, it'd be big trouble. You wouldn't be leaving it on a plane.
I'm going to let you handle the plastic bags at the White House next week.
Oh, my God. We can't bring anything into the White House.
There could be some jumbo shrimp that we'll want to take out of there.
You know, speaking of Christmas gifts, you gonna plan on doing any shopping in the White House? You gonna make off with some art, presidential artifacts?
I'm just wondering, you know.
Maybe they'll give us little favors or something, some Hershey kisses.
This is one of those things, you know. If you learn from experience, it's like starting a war. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. You just have to be prepared for anything that opens up, any advantages.
You just have to keep your eyes open for graft opportunities.
Exactly.
What I'm imagining when I'm thinking of my first time at the White House. It's like starting a war.
All you're bringing is your 60 some odd years of grafting experience.
You know, Tony Bennett saying, "I left my heart in San Francisco." The new update is, "I left my heart on Southwest Airlines."
That's
from 508.
A Southwest Airlines flight traveling from Seattle to Dallas was forced to turn around mid-flight Sunday after officials realized a human heart had been left on board, and it was only going to be remain viable for a transplant for a few hours after they found it. They said it was absolutely necessary to get the cargo back as quickly as possible, and then they said, "Nothing is more important to us than the safety of our customers and the safe delivery of the precious cargo we transport."
You know what I would have said? "Hey, I got reservations for dinner tonight at Mi Cucina in Highland Park Village. What about my priorities?" That's what I would have said.
But then they would have said, "Mr. Carr, there's a human heart here that's being transported for someone to have a transplant."
I have my heart set on the chicken enchiladas tonight.
You wouldn't just be mean. You would also have to incorporate the heart into all of your phrases.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
And don't even think about giving me a $15 drink certificate to make up for this, because it's not going to get the job done.
Have you ever been on a flight that's turned around midway?
No, I never have. I hope never to be on such a flight.
I was on one once to Florida, and I hated flying, and I fell asleep for a little bit, and then I woke up, and we were going back, and I started to cry.
Like all the way back to Boston?
Yeah.
Why? What'd you do?
I think they ran out of gas or something. And I said, "No, please." It's just the worst. It's the worst feeling because it's such a waste of time. It's like sitting on the, what's it called?
Tarmac.
The tarmac. But yeah, so they got that heart back safely and all is well. And also, Howie, I wanted to tell you this, because I think this is very interesting that they can do this. Black and white TV classics get colorized for Christmas. This is so cool. Like shows like I Love Lucy, some of these shows I've never heard of. Newly colorized versions of Never Bathe on Sunday.
That's a new one on me.
Yeah, well, they can make them in color now.
You know, there's a great story in Weekly Standard. It said, "Why is John Wayne more popular icon than Gary Cooper?" Because they were equal back in the day. You know why?
Why?
Because John Wayne made a lot of color movies because he lived longer. Gary Cooper, no kids watch black and white movies, period. I'm Howie Carr.